This podcast is not meant to be professional advice of any kind. It is meant to be informative and entertaining. If you make any changes to your life, see the appropriate professional before you do so. Hello, and welcome to SuperAge. My name is David Harry Stewart. I'm the founder of Ageist. At SuperAge, we help you live better and become the best version of yourself. And who doesn't want a SuperAge? Today's show is brought to you by Inside Tracker, the dashboard to your inner health. Go to insidetracker.com/ageist to save 20% on all their products today. Welcome to episode 84 of the SuperAge podcast. It is great to have you with us. This will be dropping on May the 25th, 2022. So a little bit of news here. We have so much going on here. It's so exciting. Every Monday at 4:15 my time, we do an Instagram Live, which is called What's Hot and What's Not. And think sort of Jimmy Fallon late night TV game show thing. I don't know. It's supposed to be really fun. And it is really fun. And this last week, we had a nutrition scientist on, and we talked about various foods and paleo diets and vegetarianism and all kinds of interesting things. So if you're, and they're recorded, so they stay in the Instagram feed, the We Are Ageist feed. So if you're interested in that, check that out. This week on the show, we have Caroline Ingeborg. And Caroline is the founder of a new social network called Leap, Leap Chats. And I want to say right now, everyone out here, you should just go and download this onto your phone because it's great. It's like, it's my favorite new thing. So the way it works is they're short 20-minute chats. They're sort of generally around a topic of some kind. And there's a leader. The people in the chats vary like globally, wide range of ages, whole ranges of different people. And it's about a simple topic. So the last one I was on was, it was an art theme. And the question for the breakout room that they put us into was, where would you like to go to have your portrait done? And because of the nature of the question, because of the amount of time that's allotted to different people, there's not enough time to do this sort of, you know, the normal social media thing, which is like, this is who I am, and these, you know, this is how my opinions are different from everyone else. It's not like that. It's much more humanizing. Like, if you think that we are humans as a mosaic, like, we all have these different pieces of us that we choose to bring out at different times. With Leap, what happens is there's the commonality, and through that, we're able to sort of learn new things from other people and meet new people and make these actual human connections, which, if you think about it, in such a short amount of time through a video-based platform, how is that possible? Well, I can tell you, it is. I've done it. It's wonderful. So it really, in my view, it's the counterpoint, it's the solution to so much of the, you know, sort of bad divisiveness that happens through so much other, you know, these other social media platforms. So we're going to have Caroline on in just a moment. And again, her platform is called Leap Chats. Check it out. So before we get to that, though, I want to let everybody know we've got this call-in number. It's 801-871-5291. And we really want to hear from you. We want to hear what your questions are, what's on your minds, and we want to hear it in your voice. So this week, we got a question about cognitive reserve. And this came from Sibel in Australia. So, Sibel, this is what my thoughts are on this. Sibel's question was around, have I heard of this? It seems as though people who may have some age-related brain disease can overcome that to an extent through having a cognitive reserve. And this manifests itself in that a person who may otherwise be somewhat debilitated by a disease or a damage of some kind seems to overcome it through having this cognitive reserve. And I've asked around to our scientific board about this and some other people I know about this. And I think there are a couple of things here that the consensus is on this. What happens is the more and the greater variety of neural connections you can make, sort of the more resistant your brain is to a disease. The other thing is that there seems to be some thinking that people who have brain scans showing Alzheimer's or some other kinds of dementia may be impinging on their brains, but they're still very high functioning. It seems to be this idea that of purpose. So if we have great purpose and drive, our brains are actually able to do quite a bit with less. So, and this can go on for a while. And then there's sort of what happens is like a catastrophic failure. The whole thing falls apart. It can't support itself anymore. But I think both of those things are interesting. So, you know, the first one, build new neural connections and build as many of them as you can. So that's about learning new things, using your body, learning new physical skills, playing a musical instrument, as we've learned on the Super Age podcast, is really tremendous for that. And then also having this sense of purpose and drive in your life, should something happen where there are, you have some impingement on your brain, some medical impingement on your brain, you're able to overcome that because your brain will sort of shuttle off the tasks from the diseased area to another part of the brain. And this, as I said, can go on for quite a while. So, Sibel, I hope that is helpful to you and everyone else. Please give us a shout if you like, 801-871-5291. It's free. We'd love to hear from you. And speaking of brain health, what is your brain mostly made out of? It's water. So did you drink enough water today? This is something I find one of the hardest things to do. It's the simplest thing to do. Allegedly, you want to drink half of your body weight in ounces. If you're active, you exercise, it's probably a lot more. It's probably like your entire weight in ounces. But, people ask me this question, how much water should I drink? I just say more. Whatever you're drinking, just drink more. The chances of you hyperhydrating, you would have to drink gallons of water. You're probably not going to do that. So, make your brain happy. Drink some water. We're going to get with Caroline in just a second after a quick word from our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Inside Tracker. I've used Inside Tracker for a couple of years now. They test 43 of my biomarkers, letting me know what's going on with my inner health. It's the dashboard to how I run my health. I have to know what's going on with my body on the inside. And that's more than just getting my physical once a year. People ask me like, well, why should I do this? And I say, well, like, don't you have a gas gauge on your car? Like, don't you have a speedometer on your car? Why would you not want to know the things that are most important to you, which is what's going on inside your body? Do you know what your vitamin D level is? I mean, I do. In fact, not only know what it is, I know what's suggested to do about it, and I take some action on it. And I know that because I use the Inside Tracker platform. This is a great product. If you're interested in any of the Inside Tracker products, go to insidetracker.com/ageist. You'll save 20%. Hey, Caroline, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to have you on today. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here.
So you started this thing called Leap Chats. What is this? What are you doing?
What am I doing? I think it comes down to, what do we need as humans? And I think that we need a place where we can start to be truly seen, heard, and recognized, both ourselves, but I think more importantly, each other. And I see Leap as a way to make this happen.
And how does it work?
So we just released our beta. So we're very early on, but the way it works is that you download our application, you sign up to Leap. And when you come into Leap, you're met with these bite-sized conversations that we call chats. And the way that it works is that you sign up to one of our chats. You don't need to be, it's not a, okay, if you sign up to a chat, you need to be and commit to be there every week forever. You sign up and you try it out. And the way it works is all of our bite-sized conversations and our chats are 20 minutes long. They're all curated and led by a facilitator that we call a leap leader. And the role of the leap leader is there to really set up and pin up the conversation. And our chats can, you know, be anything from 10 people to 50 people. But what happens after a few minutes is that you're put in groups of 4 to 5 people. And when you're in these groups of 4 to 5 people, there's no leap leader there. So another way of looking at it is like, you're in a room with 4 to 5 strangers, or you're in a room, is this the way I like to see about it? You're in a room with 4 to 5 other human beings. And it's not a random conversation. It's not, hi, my name is Caroline, I'm from this and this. And I do. It's very much, you talk about this prompt. Because what we learned through, I think, a lot of the testing that we did and through the pandemic is that when we meet online, it puts even higher sort of need to be structured. So the prompts are very specific and the time is very short. It's only 12 minutes in this room. So there's no time really to go into and talk about where you live and what your grandchildren or children are named and what they do. It's, hi, today we're talking about only one word as an example. This is the chat that I lead. And this week, our word was hope. So you jump in and you have to start. And when I tell people what the weekly word is, you can see how they start thinking. And then they're put in the room and they say, oh, hope, you know, I thought about this thing regarding hope, or patience, I thought about this thing. And you jump straight into the conversation. And after 12 minutes, you're back in the big room and everyone shares a little bit about their reflections and what they learned. And then you leave. And you get to connect. What we found, at first I thought the idea was crazy. How can you really connect with other human beings in 12 to 20 minutes? It turns out you can. You can have a really meaningful conversation in a very short amount of time if you tee up the conversation in a good way.
Well, let's talk about, you know, sort of traditional social media, which is quite different. So why did you design this way versus, you know, what's out there already?
The other way.
The other way, yeah.
The other way. So, I mean, I think it's like when designing a product, is, I think any product at all, physical or digital, but especially when you're designing it for consumers, consumers is humans. And so I always look at like, what is our natural human behavior? And throughout the testing and the research and the learning that we've done with Leap, I have this, like, I call it the human connection model. And it's not I cannot prove that this is the way it works, but I strongly believe that this is the way it works. And what I tried to answer with this was like, how is human connection created? And so I think it's like, there's now 3 levels, and I guess in like 5 years, I'm going to have 7 levels and it's going to be much more refined. But the first level, I think that's sort of, that it talks about like what is the first prerequisite for any sort of human connection. And that is an opportunity for self-expression. That is an opportunity for you to express something about who you are and for me to express something about who I am. And, you know, I think this goes back to like the, you know, as long as we have been humans, you know, I don't know, when we lived in caves, I guess I had one kind of fur and you had another kind of fur. And that said something about who we were in that community. And what sort of the traditional social media has really like clinged on to is that thing. It's an opportunity for us to express who we are. And that started with that we expressed it through text and then through photo and then through video and then through audio and so many different. But the innovation that I see in that type of social media has really been in the medium. But the focus have always been self-expression. And at Leap, you can express who you are. I think that's, you know, that's necessary for any form of human connection. But what happens in the when we want to like create a deeper sense of human connection is the second level, which I call reciprocity. And that is an opportunity for a person to be truly seen and heard and recognized. And I think that that's something that many people hope to do on social media platforms, but very few get to experience. And I think for us to experience that, we need to meet in real time. There needs to be an aspect of the product where we can meet in real time and when we can look each other in the eyes. And so for that, we need to be in very small groups of 4 to 5 people. And so that is why we are keeping, you know, these breakout groups so small, because that's where the opportunity lies, to meet with 4 to 5 people in real time. And you do feel seen and you feel heard and you feel recognized. And so that's like the reciprocity level. And my goal with Leap is that we are always at this second level. Like every Leap chat that you come to, there is this opportunity. And I think when you truly do that, you can come to the next level, which is learning. And there's a quote that goes something along the line of like, a really good conversation is something where you learn something about yourself, the other, or the world. And I do this all the time in deep chats. I walk away and I feel like, oh, I never thought about it that way. Even when I'm the Leap leader, I have this sense of like, I have this sense of like, oh, the word hope, that means this. And, you know, you can tell these stories and have these kind of conversations. And I join a Leap chat and I walk away. I'm like, oh, I never thought about it like that. But the third level is something where all of the guests of Leap, they can get there together if they really stay in the conversation and they are present. I don't know if this helped answer your question. It was a long answer.
No. And so the other, we're not going to name them, those other sort of bad social media companies. So they like to, they work on an algorithm that monetizes outrage, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be, that's not possible here with what you're doing.
No, it's not possible here. And I think it's almost like, it's not possible here. And it's also that the starting point is completely different, because we are basically starting and saying like, as humans, like we are much more in common.
Right.
Than not.
Right. Right.
And the algorithms, as far as I have understood it, is like, you know, they put us all in a big node of things. And it's like, oh, if you have this thing in common, this thing in common, this thing in common, this thing in common, then these things should happen. And we're almost starting the opposite way of saying, like, if you enjoy having these kind of conversations, then, you know, where do you want to take your relationships as a next step? And so the starting point is completely different. And the small group size also doesn't really foster outrage because, you know, if you want to, you know, there's something of like, oh, I want to be outrageous to get as much attention as possible. And in the small group, it's like, actually, you can maximum be outrageous to 4 to 5 people. And it's actually a lot harder to act that way if you're in a small group.
And you're seeing other people and they're reacting to you.
Yeah, right. They're reacting to you. And so, yeah.
That's so interesting. Now, suppose I'm in a small room and I meet really interesting people. Mm-hmm. Do I stay, like, how does the connection go on?
So currently, the connection only goes on in that you think about it as your local coffee shop almost. And that like Leap is the local coffee shop where you run into people. And instead of what happens to me now at my local coffee shop is that I run into people and they're all looking at their screens. But at this coffee shop, we're all looking at each other and we're jumping into the conversation. And so there's a certain serendipity of it, because we're not saying, oh, match David with Ellen, with Debbie. It's, you know, we're just saying this should be this many people in each group. And so there is a serendipity of like, oh, maybe if, you know, David was at this chat this week, maybe he's going to be there next week and I'm going to run into him again. And so very soon you're going to be able to see other people's profiles. We're still so early. You can't do a lot outside of the chats, but very soon you're going to be able to see other people's profiles. And the thing that you're going to be able to see there is like, what other chats do I come to regularly? So it's almost saying like, at what points of time of the day do I go to my local coffee shop, and increasing the chances of us getting there together. But the next natural extension of this is, of course, like, you know, I run into you three times at a local coffee shop. I want to exchange my phone number, or I want to be able to send you a message. And so directionally, like, that is what we're going with the product, because what we have seen is that our users are already like, they're already holding up their phone numbers between each other and saying like, call me. Like, well, this is my email address. And so like that, it's like, and I get so many, you know, strong recommendations of like, Caroline, how slow can you build? Why are these things not here yet? So there's a real, I think, there's a real demand for taking some of the connections to this next step.
I love that somebody writes their phone number on a piece of paper and holds it up to the screen.
I was asking because I started to understand that some of our guests have started to talk to each other outside of Leaf and also meet even in person. And so I started asking, like, how do you do it? And then they just said, like, this is how we do it. And they showed it to me. It was amazing.
People are clever.
People are clever.
So I want to know more about you. So you started this thing. Where do you come from and why did you decide to do this?
Okay, so I come from Sweden. I grew up in Sweden. I grew up in a very, very free way, in that my parents were, they were very free. I could do a lot of things. I traveled a lot as a young person. There was a lot of responsibility and the freedom. I think they would both agree with that. Before I started Leap, I was running a company called Toca Boca. And Toca Boca is a kids company. And I was there for 8 years. I joined as the COO and then I was the CEO. And, you know, we took it from a company of 5 people to a company of 120. But I think more importantly is we empowered tens of millions of children to play every day. And so I think when I left, we had something around like over 300 million downloads or something. Like, we had around 30 million kids playing every month. And so that was what I did before. And I left because I wanted to start something new. And the only thing I knew when I left was that I wanted to focus on people slightly older than myself.
Why?
Yeah, it's a good question. So now some things in life, like you research a lot and like you really, and then some things are just decisions that are really good gut thinking. And what I did, I was once again at my local coffee shop and I had a napkin and I put out all of the different kinds of groups of people I would like to build something for. And I grew up in an intergenerational home. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents and with my parents. And I was also the kind of child that was like, we have this expression in Swedish, which is that you're an old young person, which just meant that I was like always sitting like close to the adults and I asked questions that were probably really dumb, but they didn't treat me as if I was dumb. They treated me with respect and curiosity, and they took the time to answer my questions. And so I never saw age as a reason not to be friends. And that's still true. I never experienced it that way, and I never saw it that way. And that goes for, you know, people younger than myself and older than myself. And so I look and I said, like, I don't even know any any technology products that are built for people that are older than myself. And I started talking to people that were older than myself, like maybe 10 or 15 years older than me. And it was just so clear that you have this super fantastic group of people. And no one from where I was sitting in like San Francisco tech space is really building together with this group of people. And I saw the same thing as we saw with Tokaboka in the kids space, was that a lot of people that try to build products with good intentions unintentionally became patronizing. And so the way that that translated in the kids space was like, oh, I remember when I was four, or I have a four-year-old, and like, so therefore I know what you need or what you want. And that's not true, because if you're not four, you don't know what it's like to be four. Even if you've been four, you have no idea what it's like to be four. And I think this is true for all age groups. And so I came with this like, okay, so there's the few people that are building for people that are slightly older than themselves, they're doing it in this way like, oh, and you're so old and lonely and you have no friends and no reason to live. And it was like, well, that's not really true with anyone that I'm talking to. So, and then I also just really fell in love with this demographic even more than I had before. And so I started spending a lot of time. And when you do that, you get really good ideas, I think. And I think two big things that happened was like, understanding and seeing technology and the internet through the lens of generations that had spent more of their adult life in a world where we were not only like connecting through social media the way we are today. And then learning like what a good conversation could be then. And so I learned a lot about what Leap should be and how we should build Leap.
So you did a lot of research here. And were you finding that people, so I'm 63. I mean, the iPhone happened when I was about, what, like 43 or 45 or something. So in people our age, we're more apt to want the face-to-face sort of connection versus the text-based or picture-based?
I think that it was rather that people your age had spent a longer, like, knew what they were talking about, to be honest, I think is the right way to say it. Because when you grow up and without that being, you know, the status quo, then you don't really know fully what you're talking about. And I think that that's sort of where I felt that there was so much wisdom and expertise and just like how to do things and how to behave when you meet face to face, that I've learned so much from all of our Leap leaders.
I think that that's interesting. It's sort of, you know, people my age, there's ageism that we exhibit towards younger people. That's, we just do that. We don't mean to, but we do. And so one of the sort of wraps is that, you know, someone who's grown up digitally native, so they're, you know, 20 or something, 25, they've never known a world without digital. And that for them, sometimes things like the telephone or like coming up to someone like face-to-face in a coffee shop and just saying like, hey, how are you? Can be like alarming. I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
I think that can be true. I definitely think that is true, actually. I think it's gone. That feeling of it being spooky, that when someone comes to say hello, is, I think it's true for many age groups today, unfortunately. And I don't think that was necessarily true in the beginning, but I think now it's more true for many than not, unfortunately.
And do you feel the pandemic, all this, you know, social distancing and social isolation that we've gone through for the last couple of years, that has to have a negative effect on social skills.
Yes, definitely. But I do think that the social isolation started way before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read a book called Bowling Alone.
No, I have not.
It's a great book. I'm going to send you Bowling Alone.
And I want to bowl alone, by the way.
No, but it's great. It's written by a man called Robert Putnam. And after this, there's been plenty of research on this. But he introduced something, a theory around different places. And so he said, you know, it used to be we had the first place, which is our home, the second place, which is our work, and the third place, which is the local coffee shop, the church, or whatnot. And he goes back and he looks at research in the US from 1950s. So I think his first article was like in 1995 or 2000. So, you know, it was before everything that we've seen happen later on with social media. But his thing was like, third places are disappearing. Mm-hmm. And I think what has happened, you know, since his research came out and he's still active, is like, this has just been amplified by how we live our lives. Mm. And so then the pandemic happened, and that amplified the social isolation even more. Mm. And so, you know, this what happened with the pandemic, I think, is that small things that we do every day disappeared. The freedom, the sort of things that we took for granted, like seeing our family, we weren't able to do anymore. But also the serendipity of meeting someone or saying hi to someone, you know, got scary. We're not even shaking hands like anymore. And I think those, you know, those things are important. My hope though is that, and this is an exceptionally naive, some people would say childish, I would say hopeful view of where we're at, but like, the pandemic amplified the social isolation a lot. My hope is that, you know, sometimes things need to get a lot darker before they can be lighter. And I think we were treading in this direction even without the pandemic. So maybe the pandemic has pushed us into an even darker place faster, but that we through that can like start to come together faster. Like that there, and I have such a big, you know, we've been through a lot as humans, so I'm sure we can figure this out. And so maybe this is like, you know, the time came sooner than we anticipated to start to really put the foot forward and starting to connect again and start to say hello again and start to smile again when we see a stranger.
I was just in New York City. I spent a week in New York City. I used to live in New York City. The New York City subway, I think, is a national treasure. I think it's one of the most amazing things ever. The locals, like, you complain about it. I don't know. They have a litany of complaints. None of them are true, by the way. They should, like, go to Los Angeles. You want to, like, value your subway. And, you know, seeing all these different people, and I talk to people on the subway, which I love to do. And it's a way, you know, this connection. I was one of my days, I took the subway up to meeting someone at the Met, and we had some time. And so I was in Central Park for like an hour or so, and like seeing what goes on in Central Park, it's like all manner of people you can imagine out there playing softball or doing whatever. And they're all getting along fine. And I think we humans, we have these sort of two opposing things. There's the one, the desire to connect. Mm-hmm. And two, there's this sort of tribal impulse that we only want to connect with like whoever we are. And there's always the other, and they're scary for some reason. And I really agree with what you're saying here, that I think that recently my wife and I started watching like the network nightly news, mm-hmm. because it's a unifying thing, right? It's not like cable. Like once cable came up, that was like the early 90s, right? Like cable started what social media just accentuated, this idea of the difference. Like, oh, this is your tribe, be scared of the other tribe or some nonsense. But there are these sort of two different things. And I think that the way that sort of fear of the other is overcome is like what you were saying. If you're in a small group with four or five other people and one of them is a perceived other, and you see like right away, like, oh, they're like, they're just like me, but they wear purple or something, you know?
You're touching on two very like interesting things that we learned. And one of them, is like a learning through all of our guests, but also about me. It's like one of these, I did not understand this when I started Leap. I wish I did, because it's like, but there's a, you know, the thing that has happened when we, to your point on that, I love that you're starting to watch the news this way as well. This is this is fantastic. But because, I think that a consequence of how we have been, connecting and behaving online is that we become less kind.
Yes.
I heard this first, I remember I called my co-founder when I heard this the first time, and I said, I was just in a chat and there were two women. You know what they said? They said they are not, one woman said, I'm not a kind person. I'm not as kind as I used to be. And I asked them why. And she said, oh, it was because I was kinder when I didn't spend as much time as, and then she used the name of a big social network. And the other woman said, oh, I feel exactly the same. But so the thing that is then like, that gave me so much joy was, when a person shared the other day that, I, because of Leap and because I've met so many people that look so different than me,
right.
I now see people in real life that look like some of the people I meet at Leap.
Right.
And I started saying hello. And I was like, that's pretty awesome.
That's a win.
that's a huge win. And the other thing is this, like, everyone has biases. But it's very hard to be conscious about your own biases. And a great thing when I'm in Leap chats is I become very conscious about my own biases because, and it goes something like this. Caroline joins the chat. There's a new guest that looks in a way that I become concerned. And so the first thing that happens is like, oh, what is this person going to say or do? And how is it going to impact? And the second thing that happens is like, Caroline, you're crazy. This is such a big bias that you have. And then 99% of the cases, what happens is I learn something from that person.
Right.
And yeah. So I think that that's also why a lot of our conversations are intentionally, you could call them generic, but that doesn't make them less interesting. It's like what you're saying about the news. They're not focused on our differences.
Right. That's right. And I think it's that I've had exactly the same experience of, being in a room with somebody and there's somebody who comes in and there's something about them that just strikes that sort of reptilian part of my brain as somehow they're a threat to me. They're a threat to my, you know what it is, Caroline? They're a threat to my thinking. And I just get over it.
and I think that the thing about this happened, I think that's like it's a good word, reptile brain, because that's like that is really I think what is triggered. But I think what has happened is that we have, I don't go on other social platforms and troll people, but what I do is talking about my own deterioration of kindness, I guess, is I see people behave in a way online, and what I do is I leave. And if that would have happened on my little street here outside my window, I would have gone out and said, what are you doing? I'm now this is not okay. Why are you behaving this way?
Right.
And so we're like unactively or whatever, not being the best version of ourselves. And I think that impacts both how we see others, but also how we see ourselves. And that's not good for either.
But I think that you found the solution is that it's if you have this four or five people, then that's a different thing than one-on-one, and it's a different thing than 1-on-20. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain sort of equality in that number that I think, you know, somewhere reptile brain doesn't feel so threatened.
Yeah.
That they can open up a little bit and like listen to the other person. And you know that what you name off these three sort of needs: the self-expression, the reciprocity, and the learning. But the learning is nearly impossible on these other social networks because they're not designed for that. It's not about learning. No,
it's not about that. And it's not like, I mean, the reason why we're doing all of these very different design choices is because our North Star is to empower human connection in the way that it means that you're truly being seen, heard, and recognized, and that there is an opportunity for reciprocity and learning. And the other products are like, they're just not designed with that end goal. So, you know, we're not comparing apple to apples. It's completely different things, but they are both sort of, because of this word connection and social being there, they are compared.
Yeah. Remember, I believe, and I might be wrong about this, the origin story of what was originally called the Facebook was Mr. Zuckerberg pointing out the people that he liked and he didn't like. It was difference based from the get-go.
Yeah.
And you're in the club, you're not in the club, sort of thing. It's so interesting. So tell me this. It would seem to be that one of the most important parts of what you're doing are the leaders, right? You have to have a certain kind of person who can do this. So how do you find, do you train them? Do you find them? Are they just innate? Where does that come from?
I think as with all things that you do from scratch, it evolves. And we have found leaders through a couple of different ways. One is we've had some of our guests that have raised their hands and said, hey, I want to become a leader. And not all of our guests are great leaders. So then I share that and I share why. And they, you know, then they understand that. But we've had some of our very, very good leaders come as through being guests. Then I was also lucky when I started doing a lot of my initial research for LEAP that I came in contact with some really amazing group of people. And they started referring, when I shared like, okay, this is what being a LEAP leader means, then they started saying, oh, you should talk to this person. And they were almost like, I think at one point it was so, I was so bad at explaining what LEAP was. So I think the way that they said it was like, just talk to Carolina, you're going to want to join whatever she's doing. She can't really explain that at the moment, but like, it's going to be good. And then the third way is that we, and then, you know, that group of people starts then referring people that they know. And then the third way is that I proactively reach out to people. And I said, hey, I read an article about you. I think, you know, this is what we're building. This is what I believe. This is what I saw and why, you know, I think you would be a great LEAP leader. So, I mean, an example is how I've taken help from you is I read a bunch of your profiles and I started reaching out to people that you have interviewed.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know this.
Oh yeah, I did. I was like, this is great. I was like, this is a fantastic place to find good LEAP leaders.
It's true. It is. That's wonderful. So if somebody wants to join LEAP, is there like, how does that work? Is there a membership process? Do you just sign up? Do you have to make sure I'm not crazy? How do we do this?
So currently, if you want to join Leap as a guest, you go to the App Store and you search for Leap, meet new people, and you find us and you download us. And then you go through a sign-up flow. And if you are crazy, we find that out pretty fast. And we will let you know that maybe Leap is not a good place for you. But the interesting thing is, like, because of the way that the product works and because it's based around small groups, it's like, it's not really a place for crazy. Right. Because if you're crazy, there's like better places to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's called Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many better places, actually. So, yeah. And then if you want to become a Leap leader, then you email me, caroline@leap.so.
Nice.
And you say, hey, this is why I think I would be a great Leap leader.
How do you feel? Where do you see Leap in 5 years? Like, what's the sort of impact you want to have in 5 years?
So I have this medium and long-term vision. I think that today, if I told pretty much anyone, do you want to meet with five strangers at the corner of your street and have a good conversation? So most people would say, no. But you want to meet five people and enjoy a curated, facilitated conversation at this app? Many people would say yes. My hope is that in 5 years, we have millions of people enjoying these conversations, and that the conversations lead to new connection and new friendships. My hope is also that through that, everything that we talked about, we can see each other's, that there's more togetherness than otherness. And that instead of me standing on the street corner now wondering, like, is there, like, at my local coffee shop, is there anyone that wants to have a conversation here? Then maybe in 5 years, you know, there's a bunch of people and they have a Leap pin on their jacket or sweater. And that means that, like, even if I'm looking at my screen, I'm open to conversation. So say hello to me. Like, I want togetherness. I want interdependence. But then, you know, the longer term vision is that we can all throw away the Leap pins, because we have come to a place where, like, we are all in this together. And so we actually start saying hello at the local coffee shop today. And so that the third places that Putnam talks about have, like, been reborn. That's my, you know, the 5 year and the longer term goal.
Would you see a Leap in-person event, a Leap conference?
Yes,
lots
absolutely.
Of Leap people?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be lovely.
Yeah, I think it will be lovely as well.
Yeah.
And every second week I say, I'm just going to do it this week. And I'm like, no, one step at a time. But yes.
That's wonderful. Just give me a sense of the geo on where your people are.
Our people are very spread out across the US. And then we have a few people from the UK, because we have three of our Leap leaders are based in the UK. And then as some sort of natural Anglo-Saxon extension, there's also some people in Australia and New Zealand, and the same with Canada, but mostly the United States.
Because time zone becomes important.
Time zone becomes important, but we have two users or two guests from Japan. And they join. So it's, I was in a small breakout room the other day, and there was a man who said, oh, I just moved from a house to more of a community living. And someone I said, oh, whereabouts in the country are you? Oh, I'm in Malaysia. And he was like, oh, you're in Malaysia, like the country Malaysia. So I don't know how he found us, but apparently he did.
That's awesome. That's super cool. I love what you're doing. I think that on so many levels, I think that this is just, it's just a wonderful solution to something that's really needed and I think has gotten pretty out of hand.
It's
nice to be humans again.
Yeah, it's nice to be humans again. It's like something to celebrate.
It is. Wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to leave people with, Caroline?
Join us. You know, it's 20 minutes. It's a great way to find new people, get new perspectives, and you know, get your daily dose of human connection. It will give you a lot of energy.
I tell people it's the best coffee break you're ever going to have.
That is an amazing way of putting it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the show today. It's great to have you with us as always. If you enjoyed the show today, please leave a rating. We love that. Please leave us a comment. Please give us a call in. We love that. 801-871-5291. Don't be shy. You can do it. Or if you're feeling shy, you can just send me an email, david@superage.com. And big thanks to our sponsor, Inside Tracker, for their help in getting this show made today. And to Caroline from Leap. Check out Leap. I'm just saying, if I were to make a social network, this is what it would look like. I think they did a great job. And I can see this being it's just what we need in this time. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Next week, we're going to be talking about hearts and heart health and what we can do about it. Until then, everyone have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye now.